Good morning, everyone. My name is Elaine, and I'm a Malaysian Chinese by origin. Malaysia is a country with 33 million people consisting of 36 ethnic groups, with Malay as the national language, and each ethnicity will have at least 10 languages and dialects which comes with it. Our constitution recognizes diverse religious practices, but Islam is the main religion in the country, as 65% of the population are of Muslim people, an estimate of 20% Chinese, 8% Indian, and the rest of different socio-ethnic groups. One can only imagine how it is like to grow up as a child every day under such complexity of governance and paganistic practices in our society. It's everywhere. The mosques, the Chinese Hindu temples of many kinds are at every suburb and town. Taking into account to the modern philosophies of the Western influences, which has infiltrated the Asian homes more rapidly from the 1970s. How then can a soul find the way, you think, the truth and the life as proclaimed by Christ in such a nation? So this morning I stand before each of you to testify of God's power, mercy, love and grace in saving me, a lost sinner who was bound by Satan to the age of 19 years. I was born into a family of four with dad, mom, and a younger brother named Arthur. My parents brought us up conservatively with strong roots in Chinese traditions and values. For example, we would bow and greet the elderly or people with higher authority when we meet. I remember when I first came here, I started bowing to a couple of people and I could see eyes that looked like, why is this girl bowing to me? I can't help it. It's just part of me. Or we do not start eating before the elders pick up those spoons or chopsticks. We need to be at peace as much possibly with others. Tolerance, respect, filial piety is a big keyword in our value. We need to be good persons. We need to do lots of good works. And the price of disobedience is the rod. Due to my father's work involvement with the Englishmen, so Western culture were introduced into our family too. Both my parents had very international minds. It is evident in their children's name. Me and my brother have no Chinese name, and we both suffered greatly because people would just ask. I can see Danny is laughing now because he understands. People will always think that that's not our real name, even when we go to the hospital. We celebrate Christmas. We watch Walt Disney. We enjoy fried steaks, pizzas, pastas, burgers on the weekends, and occasionally KFC too. In fact, every Saturday, my mother will prepare British-style breakfast, set up dining table at our garden porch with beautiful teacup sets, and would teach us to eat with fork and knives, even bananas. All of that will read the English newspapers and have the classical orchestra or British pop laser disc music playing from the lounge room. That's how we grew up. Having said that, Mom will ensure that we keep very close to our roots. She would bring me and my brother to Chinese temples on important Chinese festivals and make sure we memorize all the rituals and religious days so that we can continue to pass these practices to the next generation. At the temple, she taught us to seek blessing from the gods and to repay the blessings that were bestowed upon us the year before with monetary donations to the temple. There are so many gods I remember I have to memorize in case I pray to the wrong god for the wrong thing. Praise the Lord, who is the true living God that I worship now, who declares via the Holy Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us, there is but one God, of whom are all things, and in him, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. I also remember that when I was in primary school, my mom taught me to kneel before the statue of God in the temple, close my eyes, and pray sincerely to ask for blessings and present my wishes. I asked her, how do I pray, Mom? She replied, well, introduce yourself with your name and then just tell him what you want in Chinese. My first thought at that point was, but if God is so powerful and can grant my wishes, then why do I need to first tell him my name? Wouldn't he know me already? Of course, I did not ask my mother that question because I knew I will get a big scolding or possibly a slap on my mouth. That's part of the conservative program. Yeah. Then came the time when my father bought a house in the new suburb. We had a Christian family living a couple of doors away from us. That was when I first came to know the name of Jesus Christ at the age of 11, when my neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. Wong, with their daughter, Samantha, would invite me to church. That Sunday was my first in last Sunday school class because on the following Sunday, I turned 12 years and had to join the adults in the main sanctuary. So interestingly, with that one Sunday school class, God used the Sunday school teacher to present John 3:16 and had us memorize it. That was by the power of the Holy Spirit was engraved into my heart ever since. Of course, I did not quite understand what the words meant, but I remember the teacher saying that there is a loving God who watches us from above and know all the naughty things that we do every day. And I began to fear. God knows the secret naughty things that I do. I used to steal 50 cents coins from my mother's purse so I can buy extra lunches in the school canteen on top of what mom would have already given me. So from a young, tender age, my love for food was very real. Months for months, my mom had to deal with my test habits with rattan cane or kneeling at the outdoor garden where people would walk past and see you. Or ground me from doing my favorite things, but the more I was punished, the more I find creative ways to steal. But God's word is so powerful that it penetrated my heart just as the Bible says, like a two-edged sword. I stopped stealing after returning from church that very Sunday. Of course, I didn't learn much of God's word when I went to the adult sanctuary because the people were busy dancing and crying when they sing. I couldn't make sense of what the preacher was talking about because there would be times where it sounded like his tongue was running. So quickly, so I decided to just read comic books each time when preaching starts. However, I did begin to grow fond of the symbol of the cross. Something was very attractive and beautiful about it, and I asked my parents to buy me a gold necklace with a cross pendant. I began wearing it, and then I identified myself as a Christian without knowing the concept of sin. I also tried reading the Bible, but gave up after the first three chapters of Genesis because I just could not understand. Still, I continued attending church services and youth camps. I was exposed to all sorts of spiritual experiences, from holy laughter, even attempting to speak in tongue, filling of the Spirit more than 10 times at least, and singing repetitive choruses during worship services. If I cry at all during the service, I would feel very spiritual because people around me would cry too. High school final year exams and ECA took over my life when I turned 17, and the journey of becoming a young adult going to the best college in town was very exciting, so I stopped attending church. Every family has their own difficult times. My family was not spared. Though lots of things seemed very rosy and well provided for, it was in the expense of my parents' marriage that almost resulted them in divorce. And my father almost went into bankruptcy, but later on he did. That's how I have a perspective change on money. Fast forward, God's plan for salvation took speed from day one. I arrived in Perth for university at age 19. I was reached out by many Christian or so-called Christian university students, majority of them from charismatic churches, to join them in their activities. So being away from home, I started to become very homesick, but I can't tell my parents. Instead, they get worried, so I started to attend youth groups, church camps, to fill my time up. When the worship songs were played and the name of Christ was mentioned, I had a such a feeling I needed to return to him, although I didn't know what that means at that point, but I was seeking. I wasn't sure what I was seeking for, though. Then I was brought to a movie screening as part of their evangelism effort to watch The Passion of Christ, and the image of Christ's suffering and crucifixion stayed in my mind. I do not agree to such evangelistic methods, nor watching this movie, as I now know God's commandment in regards to these things, but at that point, the circumstances were as such. I cried sadly that night, wondering, why would Christ love me so much, and yet I have done nothing for him? I did go around chatting to people at church, asking many questions, but I was not satisfied with the answers that they have given. I have also asked myself many times, if Christianity is the only way they claim, what about people from different edges of the world, like South Pole, who have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel? What about my families and friends who are great and good-natured, hard people? They don't deserve to go to hell. I was very foolish and stubborn, obviously, but God, who is long-suffering and faithful, kept drawing me. So a few weeks later, my neighbor, Cornelius, in student hostel, came up to me one evening when I was cooking and asked me, Elaine, if one day you were to die, do you think you'll be in heaven? I looked at him whilst holding a butcher's knife, saying, well, I don't think I've committed any major crimes and I'm quite likable, so I should be able to. He then said, but what if I tell you you won't? So the real conversation began. I put down my butcher's knife, we went to the lounge and have a seat. He took his Bible, and with every question that I asked, he will flip through the pages very confidently, as if he has memorized the whole book of the Bible. And I was amazed. In my heart, I thought, well, he must be God's child, the true Christian. He invited me to church. It was a Presbyterian one this time. The whole order of worship was very unfamiliar. Everything was still, like now. Systematic and reverently carried out. Even the types of songs that they sang were very different. I learned the word hymn for the first time. Through the preaching of Pastor Errol Stone, the genuine gospel of salvation involving the doctrine of sin, judgment, redemption was presented. Pastor Errol, with no hesitation, exclaimed, "If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. There is no other way to heaven but the blood of Christ." I was very challenged that morning. Inside, I thought in my heart, "Oh, how rude." But obviously, he became my beloved pastor for 2.5 years before I left home for graduation. I knew I could not deny who I am anymore, not the existence of God himself. I knew I must first be saved before anything else or anyone else. The ultimate verse which brought me to my knees was, "For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," in Ephesians 2:8-9. The Spirit wouldn't let me rest. I knew I had to pray to God and ask him to reveal to me who he is, to forgive me of my sins and save me. So on a quiet night of 12th of April 2014, I felt the intense burden in my heart. I remember struggling within myself still. If I pray to God and to seek for forgiveness, how would my family respond to me becoming a Christian? Would I be able to commit in my religious duties? Can I let go of my worldly sinful desires and habits? I had tons and tons of worries. My heart was very noisy. But at the end, I decided to drop all these thoughts, surrendered to God's calling, and knelt on my bed by the window and prayed in tears, "Dear Jesus, if thou art real, help me to believe you, the true living God. I'm sorry for all the wrong things I have done in my life. Please come into my life as I surrender my whole self to thee. Jesus' name I pray. Amen." I could remember this prayer very clearly. After I opened my eyes, I felt in my heart the unexplainable sense of joy, and I felt very light, as if there's this 10 kilos of huge ride bike just fallen off my shoulder. So I went to bed smiling, because I know that my journey as a child of God has begun. My first Bible book that I began reading after was John. This time I felt it was easier reading the word. The more I read about Christ, the more I grew fonder of his wisdom, character, and power, ever since God's word became my lamp and my light. Back then I used to think to myself, "Oh, how I wish I knew Christ earlier." It's a divine blessing indeed. First fiery trial in my life started right away. One was intense persecution from my family, in particular from my mother, and second, going through the confusing stage of discerning which is the true church that would receive the accurate teaching of the Bible. The Lord was using the situation I was in with the charismatic churches and led me to thirst for his word. Who is telling the truth? Which church should I go to? I was a babe in the word. Hence, God taught me from the get-go, if I want to know the truth, I need to pray and study his word diligently, as taught in 2 Timothy 3:15. So God is the author and finisher of our faith. He will guide. Once I heard a preacher say, there is no royal road to studying the holy word. After 2 months of study, seeking counsel from good teachers of God's word, and researching on the errors of charismatic practices, God gave me the victory, and I came out of it. At that point of conviction, I went back to the room, took all my NIV Bibles and Hillsong CDs I had, and threw it into the bin. I will not turn back. The Lord blessed me so graciously when he placed me into the hands of the faithful preaching and teaching of Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth. It was there I learned the foundation principles of what is holy worship, holy service, holy Christian conduct, taught and walked by faithful men and women of God. That set me and prepared me to go home into a setting where I have no Christian family for 7 years. After informing my mother of my newfound faith, we had lots of arguments over the phone, often resulting in tears. When I was on the flight heading home for my first summer holidays, I prayed in my heart, "Lord, I only have you. Please help me to cling unto you until I return to Perth." The persecution did not end within the phone calls. It became more intense. Every Sunday morning before heading to church, I had to endure the yelling and crying battle with my mother, who did not know God. My heart broke when she said one day to me, "I hate your God." For she saw how much I have transformed in behavior and priorities in life. My heart broke when I heard that. And I said, "Lord, please forgive her. She do not know what she's saying." And she threatened to not send me back to Perth. So I was in so much despair, but the word of God strengthened me through Psalm 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. So I called back to Perth and asked Auntie Georgina, who is my beloved eldest wife, crying and asking, what should I do? I'm not ready to fight this battle. I'm only 8 months old in the faith and so lacking in the world. I don't know what to do. And she exhorted me, saying, Elaine, Christ endured all the sufferings for you on the road to Calvary, bearing the cross, and died for you. Can you not endure just a little bit more for him? He has risen, and he will continue to give you the victory. So trust him that he has it all under his control. So the provision of escape was, Dad came into my room one day and said, I bought your air ticket back to Perth. Don't worry about anything. Don't tell Mom. Just pack your bag and go. So the Lord used my father. I thank God for that. Well, those words of exhortation from Aunt George paved the foundation of my perseverance in trials till this day. Christ has endured. Can I not? By the third year, the Spirit of the Lord has softened my mother's heart greatly. One Sunday morning, I heard a knock on my door with a sweet voice of my mother saying, Elaine, time to wake up for church. If not, you'll be late. So I praise the Lord. It's the last month of year 2020. I am so awed by God's faithfulness, loving kindness, and long-suffering towards me, just like all of you now, listening to my testimony. Never would I have thought that my Abba, Heavenly Father, would bring me back to Australia. This country has always been very special in my heart, not because it is where I have obtained a university degree, but because it is where I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I've always prayed in my heart, Lord, if you would will to bring me back here, even for holidays, that I may spend more time with the beloved brethren, I just rested my desires in the Lord and kept this verse in my heart as my guide in every decision that I make. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. And little did I know that the Lord had so much in store for me when I began praying to him. Lord, thank you for enabling me to provide for my family in the last 7 years. My soul is vexed from shouldering the burdens of the world, and I no longer have the joy I used to have in thee. But this is not it. I know this is not the Christian life that God wants me to live. So I need you to revive me. I need more meat in my spiritual walk with you. And I want to be closer to you and to experience the power of your holiness and righteousness. How would you like me to live for you when I turn 30, which is the next year? So I took a drastic decision by resigning from work after much prayer and went to study in Far Eastern Bible College, Singapore. I was still hoping to serve God full time. I remember my company president told me then, Elaine, take 6 months or 1 year sabbatical leave if you need to, but don't resign. When you return, I'll hand over two major departments for you to run. Your future will be secure. You will report directly to vice president, and you will just be under my mentorship for succession planning. It was very enticing, but right on that spot, the word of God came into my heart, says, what shall it profit man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So I thank him and say, I'll come back for visits. I was glad that I did not take up the offer, because if I did, I wouldn't have enjoyed the blessings of my next life adventure in this beautiful city of Adelaide, where the Lord has a church that he has in mind for me to grow even more in the knowledge of his word. April of year 2016, I began to pray for God's provision of a Bible-believing church in Adelaide. If I can't find one, then I'll take it as God's will that I should return to Perth instead to study qualification towards working with children. Knowing that the Baptist Church has the closest to the doctrinal position which I was familiar with, I googled list of KJV Baptist Church Adelaide. With 70 over churches in the list, I began listening to the preaching content of the worship services. Thank God I did not have to listen to all 70, because after a dozen, I heard Pastor Simeon's exposition and thought to myself, oh Lord, I think this must be it. Sounds very solid. And so I got really excited and began dialing the number that was displayed in NBC website. Called twice, nobody picked up the phone. I was a little disappointed and thought to myself, it's okay, trust God and try again. I went back to the Google list, started listening to a few more, but I was not content. I just kept thinking about Pastor Simon's sermon. So came the time where I had to make a decision whether I should go to Adelaide or not. I pray, Lord, I trust that thou art all sovereign. I pray that pastor may pick up the phone, else I'll take it as Adelaide is not the destination you have for me. So this time I rang again, and a man picked up the phone, he sounded a bit hesitant, but later I found out that he thought it was a scam call. I was overjoyed. Anyway, I introduced myself and the reason of my call, clarified on matters pertaining to worship services and a couple of other questions. Pastor Simeon gave his answers using the Word of God, which is quite rare actually, even encouraged me by so readily extending his prayer. He said, "Tonight is our prayer meeting night. I will share that you've called, and then we'll get the members to pray for you as well." I was overwhelmed. I'm like, wow, Lord. He even said, "If you need help to move in, tell us when you're arriving. We'll come and pick you up." We've never met. Such love. And I shared this to my pastor back in Calvary Jaya Bible Presbyterian, and he said, "I think this is it, Elaine. I think the Lord has answered your prayer. Go in peace." So when I arrived here, first Sunday of worship service in NBC, I was still feeling nervous because you don't really know if this is a really faithful church. But at the end of the message on the preeminence of Christ, I was bawling with tears and praising God. I was just sitting right there. It's been a long time since I hear a preacher place Christ so high up in the pedestal. That moment, I say, God is with this church, I know. I remember also John and Christina, Seth and Sharif, who came and brought me to church my first 2 weeks of arrival. Their warm, sweet smile just eased me. I was very grateful. In NBC, I've learned even much more specifically in areas of prayer, sacrificial service, soul winning, and daily commitment of dying to self through the pulpit ministry and the acts of the members. Whenever I would struggle, different sisters and pastor with Kate would reach out to me. For that, I thank each of you. I remember once that I was tempted to not to attend the overnight prayer hours at church. Pastor Simeon called and pleaded, and I just thank God for him. He was very busy, but he took time to counsel me. I had the privilege also to spend time with Pastor's family on Saturdays at the final few months of my studies to learn and enjoy what it is like to have a family worship and to bring children up in the Lord without a television at home. Also, the rich study contents through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Ian gave me more insights to what it means to rest in the Lord. So the 2 years were wonderful, and for a couple of reasons, I felt the burden to return to Perth. Hopefully be of good use in service to the aging brethren in Faith Presbyterian. I thought that, Lord, if this is how much your visa time gives me, that's what I'm going to do. I was very heavy-hearted to leave NBC, but I guess the Lord has his reasons. God's goodness has led me back to NBC since studying God's word further with Pastor on the subject of baptism. I can now see that immersion is the biblical mode of baptism, so it is my joy to publicly confess Christ before you today and follow him in this step of obedience. To completely share how and why the Lord has led me back here, that would be another long testimony. I think I'd like to sum it up with two verses and one statement. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John 5:14, 5:15. God has been working towards preparing me and another child of his, a man who loves the Lord, to one day in his will to put a ring on my finger. I thank God for this opportunity of sharing my testimony. All glory to the Lord.